This is the Gospel of Jesus Christ according to Mark, the first chapter. In those days Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved, and with you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Lent is a season of austerity, of penitence. It seems devoid of anything that the world would tell us is worthy of inviting others to come in and share. And yet one of the core tenets of the Christian faith is that we are baptized first and foremost into Jesus' death. If we are to invite peoples to come take part in our communities of faith, we should be honest about what that looks like. Now, just about everything in Mark's gospel from which we just read seems to happen immediately. The sons of Zebedee immediately leave the boat. Jesus is immediately driven out into the wilderness. Mark will use that word over 40 times before Jesus makes it to the cross. A summation of Mark's message about Jesus is given in the passage I just read. The times have been fulfilled. The kingdom is near. Things are about to get real, and it's going to happen real quickly. Don't blink. Jesus' time in the wilderness, later his time in death, these things do not happen immediately. These moments are numbered in days, while Mark tells us about the rest of Jesus' life, rushing immediately from moment on to the next moment. But the music stops and the story comes to a grinding halt as Satan arrives to tempt him. Some of you may be familiar enough with Bible stories to fill in the details of what happens between Jesus and Satan and what the temptations are, but Mark doesn't give us those. Those come along later. Matthew and Luke supplement this story. This oldest of the four stories of Jesus' life simply tells us he was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. That's all Mark feels the necessity to tell us. But 40 days, regardless of the biblical significance of the number, 40 days is a significant detail. It's a stark truth of life that you already know if you've ever been in one of these situations. If you have ever been in the wilderness, alone, wondering if you have the means to make it through, to simply survive, you know God's kingdom no longer feels near. We are tempted, can lose hope. Life no longer seems precious and short and full of opportunity, then, does it? It seems cursed, interminable. 40 days would be a promise to say that at least it will end. If you don't know what I am talking about, I do truly pray that God continues to grant you such a fortunate existence. I pray you never have to wonder where your next meal is coming from and go looking for ways that you can take it. I pray you never feel so powerless that the only viable solution seems to be to exercise control over another human's life. I pray you never know a grief so profound that you doubt if God's promises were ever really made. And you need proof. If you don't know these temptations, I'm happy for you. I really am. That's wonderful. But maybe be quiet around the rest of us. Don't offer your empty platitudes that promise to pluck us up from the wilderness and place us immediately into the promised land, because more often than not, those are no different than the promises Matthew and Luke tell us Satan offered Jesus. You can get right out of here, make bread, take control, prove God's promises. Maybe that's why Matthew and Luke felt the need to add those details, to let us know who makes those demands. Mark simply lets us know that it takes time. And that's a big detail. It takes time to get through. Satan is there, yes. So is God's creation, the wild beasts, so are the angels, and so is Jesus. That's all Mark says, and it's a good bit to say. It takes time, and who's there? It's a great truth of the human experience that Jesus went out to have. Moments of success and celebration, even moments of hard work and dedicated purpose, they seem brief and immediate. Times of temptation and trial, they seem to linger. The Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness immediately, and he spent 40 days there. There's significance to that number, a flood. Another wilderness wandering, but place it against the immediacy of Mark's gospel, and it seems to be suggesting we can't rush through things like grief or doubt. There's no shortcut out. It has to be endured. It can only be endured. There's no battle to fight. Jesus resisted the temptation, but the battle comes another day. Maybe that's why, when the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray, he added a petition to ask that we never be led there in the first place, because he learned that if we end up there, we're there for the long haul. There's no way out, only a way through. There's no quick fix. It takes everything we have, all of our strength, just to endure. That what the church invites us into during Lent. A liturgical wilderness. The stakes are much lower. It's only practice, but it's important that we practice it. It's important that we spend time just being, lingering in the uncertainty. It's important to spend some time in a liturgical season that waits to proclaim Christ risen. Acknowledging how the struggles of this world often rob us of the ability to see even to the cross, never mind through it. This is important. Too often seen the results of worship traditions that ignore the practice. They step right over the wandering of Lent and skip gleefully past Good Friday to sing about Easter morning, and it's great fun while it's going well. Sing the songs of God's glory. Proclaim all the goodness that we have been given. Play in the waters of baptism as if they will whisk us away from all our troubles. If we even bring up doubt or death, it is just a claim that Christ has protected us from it. It's a popular message. And then we arrive in the wilderness. But it's a popular message. These traditions tend to be far better at evangelism and invitation than the mainline church. So much so that it's what counts for Christianity in the mind of most Americans. Have faith and you will be blessed with goodness. Just have faith and the pain will go away. and then we are in the wilderness. It's a popular message. Until then, but it's popular, so much so that it creeps into the zeitgeist of mainline traditions as well. Even as we drape our sanctuaries in purple and go through the motions of Lent, we make sure to say that Easter is coming. We treat it as an afterthought to be in the wilderness, something that only serves the purpose of reminding us of what Jesus has overcome for us, instead of attesting to the reality that we still endure. I don't like to besmirch other traditions. We have our flaws, and during Lent, that is where we should be looking. But I have been in too many hospital rooms, police stations, and homes that have gone quiet, people who bought the belief that we could immediately jump out of the wilderness, that Jesus would make it better, and they say they have been lied to, precisely because it's taking time and they don't want it to. Friends, we could learn a thing or two about evangelism and invitation from other traditions, but we do need to be honest about what it is to which we are inviting people to join. What is it that we as a church have to offer? We don't have an easy answer for the hard questions. We do have community that is willing to sit together while the great tempter offers us the shiny promise of prosperity, power, and proof to pluck us out of this moment. We sit together with the wild beasts and with Jesus at the table, and we wait. And there is a promise, and there are the angels. For this Lent, we practice just being here, because it takes time.